Blog Talk Radio.
Joining me on today. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, I want to welcome each and every one of you on my radio listeners. I wanted to say welcome to you. I'm so glad and excited that you have joined me on today. And we are here for another glorious, glorious time in the Lord. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I just want you to know, child of God, God has a blessing for you. Yes, you. I know you've already been blessed, but there is a bountiful blessing coming to you on today. And as we gather ourselves together, I want you to grab your Bible and come on in and just make yourself right at home. I know that there is a word from the Lord for you today as we, as children of God, look at the word of the Lord, and we can be able to live victorious through the word of empowerment coming from the biblical lesson and how we're going to contextualize it and look at the implication to our life for today. Now, on today, we're talking about, and we're doing a series of Christian discipline and looking at some of the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us as children of God to have within our lives. And one of the things that he wants us to do is to have the value of virtue, the value of God's strength in our lives is very, very key. I know we talked about temperance the other day, but we want to look at the value of virtue in our lives. And we're going to be looking at scripture from 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses number 1 through verse number 10. Oh, I want you to know I'm excited about you today, excited that you joined me. And I want to just say a special greeting to all of my faithful listeners that have gathered on the line on today. I know God have a tremendous blessing for you and want you just to hold fast and be thou encouraged and hang in there because God is going to do it on your behalf. Now let's look up 2 Peter. And Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness that bind what will come across the airway to even hinder the word to go forth smoothly. Lord, we take authority right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Lord, you have your way. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Simon Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 1 through 10, reads on this line. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things, these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to faith godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. So far, the reading of the scripture. Now let's look at Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. It reads on this line, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, virtue is the quality that sustains our entrance and standing before the holy God and allows the strength and healing presence of God to flow through us to others. So it's very key for us as children of God to have virtue in our life. We talked about temperance and talked about self-control, but now we're talking about virtue. Now, probably the most noted act of Simon Peter's ministry was his assignment to introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we'll find that over in Matthew chapter number 16, verses 17 through 19. His message on the day of Pentecost identifies the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, saving hope so desperately needed for by every generation. See Acts chapter 2. His ministry in Samaria, Acts 8, and at the home of Cornelius, chapter 10, opened wide the door to every race and culture the opportunity to receive this great salvation experience. Peter's contribution to the church, however, went far beyond the introductory gospel message he preached. Peter unlocked the entrance to the born-again experience, but he also provided instruction for living the Christian life successfully and victoriously once a person is inside the door. Now, let me stop there, because many times this is where the enemy overthrow many people in things. The Bible says you did one well. What did hinder you in things? Because he recognized that they had been bewitched and things and been overthrown by the adversary because they stopped running and doing the things of God, or they allow the adversary to take them out from the place of their blessing and blinded them to think and have delusional thoughts and thinking that they're moving forward in the things of God, when actuality they have disconnected themselves from the true vine and will eventually wither away in things because they feel as though that they can do it on their own and without the provision and the order that God has ordained for them. So, children of God, we must be very, very, very careful in things that after we gain and attain victory in things, not to allow the adversary to trick or bewitch you in your mind. It's key to stay faithful and even to separate ourselves from those that are not adhering to the things of God, because they can pull you away from that which God has called you to by intermingling with that which is not of God or going in the direction that God has called you to go in. And so we must be careful, because many things and people are just walking away from their blessing and walking away from the house of God. And they call that apostate. That's an apostate state in which people are in. And we must be careful and mindful and be faithful to God and the things of God and the order that God have ordained for his people, because that order is like a spiritual fence that's keeping away the wolves and keeping away the things that will come up against the children of God and the house of God. So be mindful of that and things of how you intermingling and how and things that are taking you away from the house of God, or things that are taking you away from the things of God and things, because it's subtle in things. It won't happen just overnight. It is constantly in a subtle way, inching and inching away. The whole fast child of God is never before and things. And so Cornelius' household, the door was open wide for him and things. And Peter's contribution to the church, however, went far beyond the introductory gospel message he preached. Peter unlocked the entrance to the born-again experience, but also instructed for living Christian life successfully and victoriously once a person is inside the door. By providing a step-by-step process on how to achieve spiritual success, Peter quenched the false notion that finding the will of God in an elusive ideal impossible to attain. The pattern Peter established in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 1 through 10, unveil a sequence that develops Christian character and produces spiritual maturity. A believer begins with faith in God, which establishes their relationship with God. So here's step number 1, is that faith in God. Then afterwards, he adds, or she will add, virtue to their faith by allowing God's nature and character to permeate in their life. As they gain knowledge and the growing believer recognize the value of self-control and then patience and the practice of which produce godliness and brotherly kindness and a lifestyle that reflects the genuine love of Jesus Christ. This plan, Peter said, is sure to produce positive results in the believers without exception. Now, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 8 said, "For if these things be in you and abound," now, they not only need to be in us, but they need to abound in our life, "that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, let us look further. The virtuous thought, our thought. Action begins as thought. In describing the process of how a temptation becomes a sin, James compared the mind to an incubator that nourishes a thought or an ideal until it becomes a full developed action. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. If a person allow negative thoughts to simmer in their mind, they ultimately will become a negative action. However, the positive also is true. The opposite is also true. A mind that molds good ideas and righteous desire will conceive and produce positive action. The human mind will devise a way to develop, to deliver a person from his desire, whether they are good or bad. The Christian challenge then is to work at providing good thoughts for the mind to nurture and to bring ultimate fruition. Now, so here it is that Apostle Peter is saying that we must nurture our mind with positive thoughts. Get away from negative people. Tell people, let's look at the bright side and things. Let's look at what God is doing in the midst of it. Yes. You've been hurt. Yes, you've gone through something. But look at the goodness and the glory of God out of it. Because if not, people will be taking you to a negative place. And next thing you know, you'll be producing negative things or have negative thoughts in your mind about people. And that's why it's best to move away from people who are so constantly pessimistic and negative and things, because your mind will develop a negative pattern. And all you can focus in on is the negativity of what's going on. But I tell you, God said everything is working out for our good, for them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. There's some good even in our bad and things. There's some good even in some things that we go through and things. It's developing character. It's developing stamina. It's developing a steadfast faith in God. There's something God is developing in. And so we must recognize that and move away from the one that is contaminating your spirit and things, and say, "I choose to nurture the good thing about the things of God." Now, the neurologist Richard Redstack, in his book, The New Brain, How the Modern Age is Rewiring Your Mind, cites a study that shows a 29% reduction in the brain activity when subjects perform visual and audio tasks simultaneously. He concluded that this proved that the brain can work only on one thing at a time. Consequently, we decided the inner battle between good and evil by which thoughts we allow to incubate in our mind rather than by the action that they ultimately will produce. I hear again, we must guard our mind and guard ourselves from that negative person and negative thoughts that are constantly want to be pulled out and poured into your spirit. Now, how do we tell the difference between good thoughts and bad thoughts? What standard is this to identify and qualify thoughts that will produce righteous action? Well, God's word provides a filter that sorts the good thoughts from the bad ones from us. It is also provides the answer to both questions. And we read it over in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. It said, "Find me, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Okay? Now, virtue is possessing moral excellence and goodness. An older definition of the word includes the idea of manly courage. Carnal and sinful thought never produce virtuous action. A believer should exercise the courage to harness their mind and discipline it to dwell only on thoughts that will pass Paul's list of beneficial thoughts. To do so is necessary if achieving virtuous life is one's goal. Now, again, Peter giving us a list of things that we must keep our mind on. And those things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good report. If there be any virtue or strength or positive or goodness in that, and if there be any praise, think on these things, the things that we must give praise unto. Now let's look further. Our Christ. Now, Paul addressed the state of our minds when he admonished the church to embrace the thought pattern of Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 13. Jesus did not just adjust his thinking to fit the low-level lifestyle he encountered on earth. Instead, he maintained in his mind who and what he was and the purpose for which he was born. He reconciled in his mind that God's call and work was of greater significance than his own human life. He willingly surrendered his reputation and his position, as well as his earthly future, to the purpose of the call of Christ Jesus. As a result, he focused his mind on the righteous behavior and not on carnal desires or selfish fantasies. And so here he trained his mind to think on the things that were right and the righteousness and this purpose that God has given unto you. And so it is, children of God, we must train our mind, discipline our mind to think on the things that God has given to us and recognize that God is in control of our life and he got all power in his hand. And again, govern our thought pattern, govern our focus in. If God's giving you a task, focus in on that task. Do what you need to do and things, yes, go on living your life, but do the things that you need to do, but stay focused on that task that God has committed in your hand to do it for his glory and honor. Staying focused on staying in the house of the Lord, bringing God glory, bringing him honor and things and praise that is due unto his holy and his precious name. Now, the work Jesus wrought and the lesson he taught amplifies absolute moral excellence. He felt compassion for the hunger and for those who had no spiritual leader. He provided natural and spiritual bread to satisfy both needs. He told his disciples to care for the poor and the orphans. He paid his taxes and spoke out against radical discrimination. And even in the throes of death while suffering on the cross, Jesus made sure his mother was not left to fend for herself. He used his final breath to give forgiveness to those who were tormented him to death. Now, through his suffering, He exhibits the greatest display of virtue the human race has ever witnessed. He willingly suffered to make a virtuous state life possible and available to us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21 states, "For he that hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, let us look further. It says, 2 Timothy, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness." 2 Timothy 3 and 16. "With our own righteousness reeking as if garbage is in the presence of God. To seek virtue from within ourselves is futile. The best source of virtuous thought is the Bible, word inspired by the one whose virtue we seek to emulate. And so in order for us to get that virtue is when we begin to stay in the word of God, reading the scriptures and allowing the scriptures to take place and root in our hearts and our minds and things. And then in turn that those virtuous thoughts will begin to take root even in our thoughts, in our minds, because we have put the word of God down within our hearts, mind, and soul. We learn about the nature of God by studying the Bible. Its pages reveal how he responds to human behavior in ages past. From its stories, we learn what God loves from what he hates. The scripture display his virtue for us to observe. Now, carnal people do not naturally produce virtue. The word for instruction in righteousness in 2 Timothy 3:16, it explains why it is essential for us to assimilate God's word into our mind and our lives. We must tap into the virtuous source, which is God and his word. His having faith in God's word and submitting our own will to his eternal principle is the only way to obtain God's righteousness. Now, so as we stay in that word, as we cultivate our lives in the word and begin to speak that word, you are speaking forth the virtue of God, because his word has virtue and life in it. And so it behooves us as children of God is to stay in the word of God so that that virtue and strength can flow in and out and through our life. Now, let us look further. Now, a virtuous character. Now, we looked at the source, and we looked at our Christ. We looked at our thoughts. Then we looked at Christ's thoughts, and then we looked at the source of the thought. Now, we're going to look at the virtuous character. Now, virtue, the first addition to faith. Faith in God and his word is the foundation of the Christian life. Hebrews 11 and 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Once faith has been engaged, however, the believer must incorporate that faith into her own everyday choices and decisions. Adding virtue to faith does not occur accidentally, but is result through deliberate action. Daily decision ways of lifestyle, weaves lifestyles that soon reveal whether or not the character of the believer is virtuous. The pursuit of virtue is the Christian's first responsibility. And so this is our responsibility as a child of God, to pursue after that virtue, to pursue after the word of God, or that strength that's coming out of the word of the Lord, in our minds, in our spirit, and even in our soul. Now, let's look a little further and see learning to reflect the indwelling Savior in our external action is vital to a child of God. As Paul instructed the church, we taste God's supernatural gifts unless the virtue of love is their motivation. And you'll see 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. This is the essential foundation upon which all Christianity rests. Consequently, it is not surprising that we are to begin by adding virtue to our faith. The Apostle Paul, Peter, wrote that false teachers and perverted individuals will mingle among the people of God, enticing them with crafty words and ways, but only to satisfy their own lust. And we must be careful because, yes, people will come in and come into the church and enticing us with words and their ways, but trying only to satisfy their own lust. And you can tell because they don't stay long in the church, house of God and things. They don't settle in and allow themselves to grow and allow themselves to go forth in the things of God. They're carried about by their own lust and not really the true love of God because they'll be grounded and rooted where God placed them. These men, he warned, and will reap the wrath of God as did the angel who rebelled against God. And be careful of those that are rebelling against the things of God and things. Because they're going to weep the wrath of God. Although Noah and Lot lived among such workers of evil, they chose to add virtue to their faith. Peter described Noah as a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2 and 5, and declared that the Lord was a righteous man living among the wicked, 2 Peter 2, verses 7 through 8. When God sent judgment upon the world, God spared both men, because they refused to allow the wickedness of their environment to shape their character. God provided a safe haven when he poured out his displeasure on mankind. Now, faith and determination are the required to add these godly virtues qualities of virtue to a person's life. Even cultures steeped in sin and perversion cannot prevent the righteous work of a virtuous believer. The work of adding virtue to faith is critical. It is entirely possible, regardless of the world condition or the present circumstances. Now, so let's look at another piece about virtue. Virtue, the essential morality. Adding virtue to faith is not an option. God has called every Christian or child of God to develop moral excellence in lifestyle and habits. Now, even in our habits and even in our lifestyle, we must begin to look at those and see, are these godly or are these things that I need to lay aside and ask God for his help and his strength in those areas and victory in those areas. Ask God for victory. Ask God for victory, even when the appetite comes or even when the desire comes. Turn your heart to God and say, God, give me victory over this. I know that this is not what you want. Take it from me. And once you give God the permission to take it from you and he see your heart sincere, guess what? He will take that from you. And don't let nobody take you back to that place and things to pick up the old habits that God washed and cleansed you from. Don't let nobody take you there. And if you find yourself around people who are there, you have to separate yourself from that and things. Now, look at according to 2 Peter 1 and 3. It says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, lack of virtue can be temporarily masked by the display of the ability or talent. A dynamic personality may keep the spotlight focused on the individual's charm and charisma and hidden character flaws beneath the surface. But talent and personalities are gifts, not virtues. Virtues are earth's reflection of heaven's value. And I pray that you get that. Virtues are reflection of heaven's value. Can you see God's value in that individual? Can you see heavenly values in that individual's life beyond their gift, beyond their talent? It says these eternal principles enhance the lives and character of the one who embraces them. Gifts and personality may secure an audience for a person, but they never will acquire contentment or peace of mind. On the other hand, peace and contentment are byproducts of a virtuous character. They just naturally follow. Edmund Buick was right when he said, if you can be well without health, you may be happy without virtue. While gifts and personality eventually fade, virtue lives forever. And you can tell and things when you have a person who have a virtue. Every time you see them, they're the same. They have that same virtue. They have that same demeanor and things like that. And things, the virtues of heaven and the strength of heaven and things residing in their lives. And conscious about the things when they're making decisions and going about the things of the things of God. Now, virtue, the child of God's strength, a child of God's strength resides in their relationship with God. A life filled with virtue results in a clean conscience and removes any cloud of guilt, providing a bold entrance into the presence of God. Because they're not guilt-ridden, and they can go right into the virtue, into the presence of God, because they're not wobbling into the things that will take them down or pollute their lives so they can't get into the presence of God. But they're living holy and they're living righteous. John wrote, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. But if your heart is condemning you, then you must need to get it right. Now, a virtuous life fulfills the purpose for God's grace, making the work complete. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Titus 2, verses 11 through 12. Adding virtue to faith facilitates the continual work of God's grace within a believer's life. Now let's look at the victorious standing before men. Moral excellence and many courage, mainly manly courage, will strengthen any human relationship. A person who is honest in business and who speaks only the truth will find nearly universal acceptance in almost any circle. Godly virtues add value to human life, and that enchantment become obvious, enhancement become obvious to others. Paul joined Peter in encouraging the pursuit of virtue when he admonished Timothy to give himself wholly to righteous principles. Not only does a lifestyle produce great reward, but the benefits are visible to everyone. 1 Timothy 4:15. Paul concluded that adding virtue to faith is a profitable venture that causes the believer's value to raise even in the eyes of those around them. Now let's look further. Standing before God. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10. The extreme effect God makes to provide a way for mankind to overcome sin and the fact that he expects the gospel to make a radical difference in the believer's life, 2 Corinthians 5:17, demands that we consider his serious expectation. We cannot stand before him without virtue and expect him to be pleased. On the other hand, possessing virtue will allow us to stand confidently before God. Jesus made it clear that he expects us to provide a return on the gift entrusted to us, Matthew 25:27. Through faith, we receive the wonderful gift of salvation and the assurance his spirit will lead us into all truth, John 16:13. But how we respond to truth and the knowledge it's introduced to us will determine the level of our success. In a parable of the talents, the Lord commended and accepted only those who work to improve what the master has given them, Matthew 25. Adding virtue to our faith will allow us to find favor when we stand before Christ's judgment seat. And so here you can see how it's important for us to add virtue to our life and things, because it's going to provide us with that strength even when we stand before the judgment seat of God, that we are standing in his strength of his word, because his word is down in us and we are emulating or living out, or our behavior is that of godliness, and and that's bringing glory and honor unto God and unto heaven. Now, let's see, adding virtue to faith. Faith is our confidence in God. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not simply trusting God to provide those things we need but have not yet received. It is the conviction that God's word is the source and sustainer of everything that existed. True faith recognizes that everything flows from God and that he works through his word. God's spoken word causes earth and all of its life form to appear, and his word continues to be the power that sustains it all, Hebrews 11:3. The word of God is the source for all we ever will need, and we are to add virtue to our faith and the commitment to living according to the word of God. Now, let's look at another virtue. Virtue is God's character, God's nature in us. And so here, as we're reading the word of God and staying in the word of God, it is putting God's virtue or his nature inside of us. And that's why it's important for us as children of God to read the word of God, because it's putting in his virtue in our lives and things. And we're taking on the characteristics of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's key for us as we do that. Now, let's look a little further here in things. Moral excellence that Peter challenged us to pursue was essentially caused us to take on and exhibit the characteristics of God's nature. Since the church is the body of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27, it makes sense that the members of his body should reflect his qualities. How do believers take on the virtuous character of God? How do they exhibit his nature internally and externally? Clearly, it is possible only through their receiving the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord. When a believer responds to the gospel through repentance of sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and receiving the Holy Ghost, he experiences the new birth, or she. They are born again as they submit to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit subdues their former sinful nature, and they begin to live in a new redeemed life, a life that reflects the goodness and the virtues of God's character. The Spirit empowers the believer to crucify their flesh, selfish, and sinful lust so that they may experience a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, further, Paul wrote to the believers of Galatia about his personal crucifixion. Galatians 2:20, but he was not referring to the literal physical death. Paul was speaking of the process of crucifying personal and selfish desires and ambition so he could live according to the will and the ways of God. He had to harness his carnal nature so that his life would reflect and exhibit the nature of the virtues of God's righteousness. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Now, let's look a little further. Now, virtue is a conscious addition to our faith. Some would suggest that expending effort to possess the quality of virtue would be trying to earn salvation by work, but such is not the case at all. Now let's look here. First Peter was writing to individuals who were believers already, members of the body of Christ who had experienced the new birth experience. Peter was not writing about how to receive salvation, but about essential matters that would strengthen and enhance their established relationship with God. Further, a careful reading of Peter's instruction revealed that he was no exception and did not provide for any excuses. Peter was conveying the idea that to add virtue to faith was what God expects and desires of his children, not an option for to consider, but a process we should approach with all diligence. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5. Now further, unlike forgiveness, which God gives us in response to repentance, virtue does not automatically come as a result of expressed faith in God. And we can see that sometimes even in the house of God, and you wonder in your mind, well, you know, how could these things be? And this person may have been in the house of the Lord for years and things, or just coming in, or have been in or coming in from another location and things. And you wonder how these things be. Well, one thing is because virtue does not automatically come. People can read and study the word and get the word in their heart, but they have to have that virtue, the character of God in their life, and the value, godly values and godly characteristics in their life. That will not come automatically, even if you got faith in God. You got to nurture that. You got to cultivate that. You got to allow God to bring that to fruition by striving in our lives to live holy and righteous, to strive in our lives to bring glory and honor to God and live godly in our lives, so that virtue and that strength will be a part of our lives. Now, whether an individual must diligently seek for virtue and carefully nourish it, we must nourish it and we must develop it in our lives. While the fruit of the Spirit amplifies virtue, a person must add his labor to his faith in order for the fruit to flourish. Galatians 5. Paul concluded his discussion of the fruit of the Spirit by writing that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. Galatians 5 and 24. It is the normal and natural progression of a believer's relationship with Jesus Christ. And we must, child of God, purpose in our mind to nurture it, to spend time and say, God, you know, add to my virtue as I look in your word. Well, I want more of your character. I want more of you, God, each and every day. Now let us look further. Living victoriously validates faith. Mentally agreeing with God is the beginning of faith. However, faith becomes active in a child of God's life only when they choose to act upon what God says. Now, that's key, because we can know what God says and we can make a choice of not to act on it. But when we actively act upon it and make a choice to act upon God's word, then you'll start seeing the fruit of it coming to pass even in your life. Now, the true test of faith is not the word a person uses, but the action one chooses. And so, again, the action of the individual. Endeavoring to reach the stature of fullness of Christ is the duty of every believer, Ephesians 4 and 13. It is vital for believers to add moral excellence to their life. And we must think in terms of excellence. We want to live in a frame and a mindset of excellence. Joseph's faith was validated when he refused to cheat behind the back of his master who trusted him. Esther's faith was validated when she chose to do right, regardless of the consequences, instead of resorting to a deceitfulness her enemy employed. David's faith was validated when he chose to run rather than to harm David, the Lord's anointed. And so here, their faith was validated even in some of the hard places. But they chose to believe God. They chose to do the right thing, that's to bring glory and honor unto God. And so it is, we as children of God, no matter where you find yourself in, we must make the right choice. And that right choice is to bring glory and honor unto God. Even when it's unpopular, even when people will turn their back on you, even when people don't understand why you did what you did. But we must stand for righteousness, what is right before God in things. That virtue, that strength, we must cultivate in our life. Now, look, our action defines and validates our faith. The word observed not only not the pureness of our heart, but the choice motivated by the content of our heart. Only God can see beyond our behavior and know our thoughts. 1 Samuel 16:7 let us know. Pursuing moral excellence is essential to the development of our faith. So here again, we must pursue excellence, strive for excellence, and pursue it. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2:18. Now, Peter was not the only person to notice the value of virtue. St. Augustine noted its importance and summarized the human challenge to acquire it when he said, order your soul, reduce your wants, live in charity, associate in the Christian community, obey the law, trust in providence. But Peter's anointed instruction goes one step further. Peter unlocks the entrance to the born-again experience, but he also provides instruction for living this Christian life successfully and victoriously once a person is inside the door. Peter delivered his step-by-step guide to spiritual success when he such conviction that he called those who refuse to follow it blind people who have no vision. 2 Peter 1:9. But Peter did not spend much time criticizing those who will refuse to hear his word. Rather, he promised two great rewards to those who obey. Those who build upon their faith, as Peter instructed, will discover a place in God from which it will be impossible to fall. He said, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. 2 Peter 1:10. No promise is stated more clearly or surely than this one. Following this pattern of spiritual development will produce a strong believer who will not fall. And so here it is. Now, once you begin to develop these characters and develop these virtues in your life, Paul said these things will not make you barren nor unfruitful, and you will not fall because you're developing the strength that God will want us to have in the virtues and the character that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will want us to have in our life. Now let's look further. Peter also promised another blessing. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:11. Following Peter's instruction will lead a person into the everlasting kingdom of God. A copious entrance into the kingdom will provide for those who diligently follow Peter's word of admonition. Let us build diligently upon our faith by adding virtue in a generous manner and measure of it, so that we can find a place of abundance in God's everlasting kingdom. And so here it is. We talked about this virtue, and to obtain that virtue is the virtues are earth's reflection of heaven's value. And as we begin to allow heaven's values to be a part of our lives and cultivating that and gaining a greater understanding of God and the things of God and bringing glory and honor unto him and things. And that's what he wants us to do, is to bring forth glory and honor unto his holy name. And so as we do that, we will see the mighty and the powerful hand of God in and through our lives. But it's up to us to add virtue and add this strength. It's not going to come automatically, but you must consciously begin to add that unto your life by beginning to stand in the word of the Lord, also by beginning to think on those things that are honest, the things that are true, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of a good report, and anything that have virtue. Think on these things, and things that have praise, the thinking on these, and begin to recognize when you're around a lot of negative people, negative thinking people, and things. Guard yourself. Just don't leave yourself open and exposed to everybody's negativeness. But you got to guard yourself. Even when they're speaking negative, just say, I'm not going to receive that in my spirit. I'm not going to receive that in my mind. Lord, I give you praise. Counteract it with a praise. God, I give you praise because you've been good to me. You have made ways out of no way. I'm thinking I choose to think on your goodness, God, but not on what people are saying negatively. I choose to make the right choices. And see, God will not make us to decide to not be around negativity, but we have to take that choice and make that choice and say, I choose to think on the goodness of God and all that he has done and in the land of the living. And once we start thinking on the goodness of the Lord, God will do it. He will do it in and through our lives. And so and once we start moving in that direction, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will do everything else and the rest and set the rest in order and things, because we want to add excellence to our lives, an excellent spirit, an excellent heart before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I pray that this lesson was a tremendous blessing to you as it opened up another virtue of God, another discipline of God by thinking, getting into the Word. One of the things I always share with new saints when they come or people giving their life to the Lord, I constantly encourage them to look into reading the Proverbs, because in Proverbs you have a lot of the wisdom. And each day read a proverb, like today or at the beginning of the month. Start off with Proverb 1, and each day read a proverb all the way down to the 31st day of the month. Start all over again with Proverb 1 in the next month, because there you're gaining the wisdom of God that he has placed in the Bible for us and things through Solomon and some of his teaching and there in the book of Proverbs. And just reading the word of the Lord and building your heart and mind with the word of the Lord, it adds virtue. You begin to understand what God really, really wants for our lives as children of God, or how to even handle situations that come in our life, because there's nothing new up under the sun. Everything that's pertaining unto life and godliness, God has already given it to us. And it's up to us to get into the word of the Lord and begin to really understand, God, how would you handle this? Or what to do. And his word would give us the direction on how to, even when we're going through hard times, he said, you know, for us to continue to give him the praise and the glory, because our mind is lifted up above the circumstances and situation that we're going through, but our heart and mind is focused in on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that have all power in his hand. And as we begin to cultivate that and begin to know and learn and understand what God wants us to do when we find ourselves in these situations. And guess what? In the book of Proverbs, you'll find a lot of the answers there and things to help us and things to be maintain godliness and godly character, even in the hard places, in the hard times and things, and how to stand even when everything else seems like it's seeking sand, or what God wants us to do, that we don't have to get mad and walk away, but we can go back to God and stay humble before God and allowing God to develop those virtues within our lives and in our hearts and spirits. And once we recognize that, God will do it and set everything else in order. Oh, child of God, you can make it. God wants you to know it's there in the Word, but it's not going to be added automatically to you. You have to take time to cultivate it by reading the word and giving God some time in his word, and he will tremendously bless you in a mighty and a special way. I'm going to pray. I know we're finishing this lesson a few minutes early, but I want to pray with you, and I want to touch and agree with you for whatever it may be that you may have need of, that God will strengthen you, that God will fortify you and undergird you. Gracious Father, we come right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. I come and say, God. Add virtue in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. As we add it, Lord, as we eat up your word, as we study your word, as we spend time with you, God, add to our lives that virtue, God, as we come to you, Lord, seeking you for more virtue and adding that into our lives, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, and we'll give you the glory and the honor and praise that's due unto your name, because we recognize, God, you got all power in your hand, and Lord, you can do all things but fail. Lord, show forth your mighty hand and move by your power divine, and oh God, we'll praise your name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the bright and morning star. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, oh, Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. We ask that your blessed, special blessing be upon each one of the hearers of this radio cast, God, that you will strengthen them, fortify them, and undergird them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I know God's adding virtue now to your life, and you're going to add that virtue by staying in the word of the Lord. You're going to add that virtue by getting into the book of Proverbs and reading it. I know a virtue is coming to your life, child of God. Godly virtue is coming to your life. And God is doing it even right now as we stir up that hunger in and through your life and providing it for you. And we thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his mercy and his grace, because truly he alone is worthy of all the praise. As you think on things that are pure, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are lovely, things that have virtue, things that have praise. And when people come and try to contaminate your virtue, you begin to share with them. Let us think about some good things. Let us pray about it. If you're going through a battle now, let us pray about it. If someone did you wrong, let us forgive them and let us move on. Let us not keep going over and over and over and stay stuck in that place. But I want to maintain my virtue, and so let us pray for it and forgive that individual and go on and live a happy and a beautiful life. Because guess what? Offenses will come. Mistakes will happen. Things will happen even in the house of God and things. We're human and things. And it's our job to forgive and to move on in a place where God can bless us, that we can be victorious people in Christ. And so you don't have to stay in that negative place. You don't have to stay in that place of perplexity. You can start thinking about the goodness of God and all of his righteousness and move to a higher place in God with that moral excellence. And remember, when people come, nothing less than moral excellence. Amen. May God bless you. Hold fast to it. God will bless you for it. He will undergird you. And guess what? You can share it with someone else, and they will ascertain to God's moral character and righteousness of his virtue. May God bless you is my prayer. It's been a blessing to have you with me on today, and I feel a tremendous blessing in your life. And remember, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. Yes, he does. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Child of God, go back and knock again. Child of God, go back and ask again, and go back and seek again. Go back and get that towel. If you're thrown in the towel, go get it. Get up to go down on your knees and cry out to God. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Come on and shout hallelujah. May God richly bless you. I pray that you're blessed, and I look so forward to us meeting again at the next day, same time, in the same station. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.